What is up? Welcome into the Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 podcast. It is Monday, October 29th. Willie and Debro here from Fantasy Football 24/7. You can find me on Twitter at WillieFF247. Hit up Derek at Debro_FFB. And you can find the main hub at FFB_247. On today's show, we will do what we do every Monday here. We will talk some Week 8 studs and duds and preview tonight's Monday night game. Derek, it's official, man. We are one game away from the halfway mark of the season. What the hell happened?
Oh my dude, I feel like there were a number of players. I'm so glad we're talking about this today, because there were a number of players that if you started a beautiful lineup of all of these supposed studs, you probably hate through the remote at least like four or five times today, because I sure as hell know I'm going to be looking for a new remote tomorrow.
Yeah, you won't be the only one, man. Well, let's do it, man. Let's fire it up. Let's get into those studs. Before we do, do not forget to get entered to win that signed Earl Campbell Hall of Fame edition jersey this year. All you have to do to enter to win is rate and review us on iTunes. Be sure to leave your Twitter handle or your email so we can get a hold of you if you are chosen to win. All right, dude, let's do this. Studs, Week 8 studs. Talk to you about somebody that went off in your lineup and you weren't throwing the TV at the remote. You were loving every minute of it.
Man, Tyler Boyd crushed it again this week. Woo-hoo-hoo! This guy went off. 10 targets, 9 catches, 138, and a touchdown. This is the fourth game this dude has had 9 or more targets. He led the team in targets. And his fourth game, dude, we're not even finished with the week, and I can tell you this dude is obviously going to finish as a top 15 wide receiver. That's the fourth time he's done that. He took MJ Stewart to school for the Buccaneers. Oh my gosh, man. MJ Stewart was not coming into this game playing well at all. I mean, the guy was, before facing Boyd, giving up almost an 88% catch rate and 4 touchdowns on the season. And Boyd just took him all over the field and was just awesome. So if you have Tyler Boyd, you got to be feeling good about it, especially for the rest of the season, man. I mean, he is just getting it done.
He heard you last week, dude. He heard you doubting him just a smudge, and he just decided just to shut it up, just keep it rocking and rolling on the 247 pod, man. They've been dominated by slot receivers, so he continued that trend, no doubt. My first guy's got to be Marvin Jones, another guy that was coming off a pretty down week, couple weeks actually, that his value had kind of taken a dip. But I mean, after 7 receptions, 117 yards, and 2 touchdowns, it's safe to say he's not going to be as easy to get if you're trying to acquire him next week. Monster game, 30 fantasy points. Currently the number one wide receiver on the week. Trails only Mike Evans so far this week in air yards. We know this guy's a red zone target. He leads Detroit in red zone targets. Huge boost, man, for your team when we're talking about bye weeks, and you can get this kind of production out of a guy that's probably in your wide receiver two slot. Maybe even your flex, depending on how your draft went. But, man, Marvin Jones went off.
Well, I know a lot of people were asking me, like, do they drop him? And I was like, no. If anything, you keep him. You trade for him, because it's going to happen. The offense, I mean, it's pass first, pass second, pass third, pass all the time, man. So, yeah, definitely. Marvin Jones, he's a must-hold on your teams. The other guy that I got to get in here is a stud. And talk about questions, man. So many people hit me up saying, do you start this guy? And I religiously was like, yes, with confidence, you should have been rocking Carson Wentz in your lineups. I get the Jaguars and they're across the pond and stuff like that. And that's basically a Jaguars home game, but Carson Wentz played up. I know that he started off the game a little bit rough. That interception was nasty. And the fumble and stuff, but dude still got 286, 3 touchdowns, almost got you another free touchdown with the 28 rushing yards, which is a season high. So he's definitely, he looked really good in this one. More mobile, looked more like the Carson Wentz of last season. And you just see he's been so steady, man. 286 and 2 or more touchdowns in each of his last 5 games. So I just have to get him in here, because people were just, they were scared of the Jaguars defense. And man, that Jacksonville's team, man, it is a mess right now. Yeah. Did you see that story about the guy skipping out of the 40K bar tab?
Yeah, I mean, while I don't blame them for attempting that. I mean,
don't
drink that much, man, or order a Bud Light, man. Something. Stop popping the $5,000 bottles if you can't afford it. But yes, man, totally agree with you, Carson Wentz. He's one of those guys that you just don't want to be pissed off for a couple days, maybe even a week, because you try to get cute and start him based on a matchup. You just get him in there. To that next point, guy, I want to talk about Deshaun Watson, dude. Only completed 16 passes. Now, if somebody would have told me that before the game, I'd have been like, damn, you know, it was probably game script. Probably had a very decent game. Didn't do much. Pretty low. Nope. Five of them damn things went for touchdowns. 31 points, currently the number one quarterback this week. And look, after a slow start for this Texans team and a couple, you know, rough weeks for Watson in particular when it comes to fantasy, it's looking good, man. This team looked great. They just dominated in terms of moving the ball and Watson really just being sharp, man. For a guy that's playing injured, that can't even fly on the plane, he doesn't look injured, man. He looks really good. And I will say that the loss of Will Fuller obviously is going to hurt Watson a little bit, but he's still a top 10 guy moving forward, man. He's so talented. He still has DeAndre Hopkins. There's other weapons on this team that will be able to keep this thing going. But yeah, man, what a performance from Watson.
Yeah, that was crazy. Such an awesome game from him. Bouncing back, you know, dude was we heard all the stuff about, you know, he's rocking it with one lung and everything like that. But it was amazing, man. Such a great game from him.
Yeah, amazing, man. All right, before we move on to the duds, let's talk to the people about my bookie like we do every week. As we say, people always ask us for advice, usually what team we are going to bet on. Truth is, we don't know who's going to win. Obviously, that's why we are throwing remotes at TVs. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. And we would only recommend this service to our listeners because it's been good to us. And that's why we're urging you to make your way over to my bookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So join now, and my bookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim that bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, D-Bro, on to the sad stories. If we had some sad music drops, this would be the time that it would drop in the episode. Week 8 duds. The guys are just... They cost us a couple flat screens because of that remote, man. Talk to me about the first guy.
Oh, my gosh. And this is a guy, look, I know we both share a lot of love for this player, and this performance here this punches straight in the man beans right now. David Njoku, he ghosted. No targets in the box score. He had one that got called back by a penalty. The best way I could say about this is that there is no way anybody could have seen this one coming. When Hugh Jackson apparently is not trolling Todd Haley on a personal level, apparently he hates fantasy gamers too, because I just question with this one, because we saw the other tight ends for the Browns more active in this one. I have not looked at the snap counts yet, but I will be very curious to get my hands on those this week, because Njoku had limited practices. We heard about the knee and stuff like that, but then he was left off the final injury report. So I don't know how healthy he is, but the fact that he just gave you an absolute goose egg after what the last 4 weeks, he was second in receptions for tight ends and coming off. I mean, look, the guy had a 21% target share over those last four games. So there was no way to see this coming, but it definitely hurt you this week and probably cost a lot of people. I know personally for me, it's going to cost me some W's.
It cost me some money in DFS. I know that damn much. So yeah, that didn't help. Like you said, I haven't looked at snap counts either. So I definitely want to see what, if anything, was up, or if this was just complete, forget about a game. My next guy, Jameis Winston, man, talk about forget about it, dude. 18 to 35, 276, four interceptions. It finishes with 8 fantasy points. And he eventually got, as we all know, he eventually got benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Fitzmagic, dude, he almost pulled out the comeback. He almost did it. So it's just insane to see the value, because Winston, I mean, he was, you know, looking pretty damn good and bankable every week based on his past week's performances and fantasies. But, I mean, what does this do now? I think this is a legitimate question. When you see Fitzpatrick come in and play the way he did, we got to see what the Bucs decide to do week to week. And if, you know, Winston, how long is that leash if he does get the starting job? So either way, it really did kill some hopes of a win this week, no doubt about it, because Jameis Winston was high in most rankings that I had even looked at, and the dude couldn't even finish the game. It was bad, dude.
I had him in my top 10 this week. Very quick, man, before I get my next dud up in here. Do you think Winston starts another game this year? I don't. I think they're going to stick with Fitzpatrick personally, because you saw how better this team looked. I mean, he gave them a chance to win this game, and Winston just, he did what he did, man. So do you think that Winston starts another game this outside of injury?
I think he does. I think they fire him up next week. I think they start him, and I think that if he gets benched again, that's going to be the end of it. But I do think that, man, look at how quick they were to get him back in there when Fitz Magic was just, you know, dominating, and he barely slipped up, and boom, they couldn't wait to get Winston in there. I think they want him to be starting for whatever reason. And like I said, the dude did have some good weeks, and I'm going to say he starts next week. What about you?
I think they go with Fitzpatrick personally, man. Just seeing how the end of that game was and how flat. I mean, I will be on record to say that I've never been a big Winston person or supporter. Just I don't believe the guy's a good leader. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. And we see this year after year. He fills up the box score, and then when the team needs him or they get down and stuff like that, just the constant mistakes, man. I think that if anything, Cutter might roll with Fitzpatrick, because then it's like, okay, well, we lost and we need a new franchise quarterback and blah, blah, blah. And we're trying, he's coaching for his job right now, man. So they got to get W's. So,
and what I will say real quick before you do move on is, either way, I mean, if you're in a two quarterback Superflex league, if any of these guys are available, you know, after this week on waivers, or even after a starter's named and someone's dropped, I'm picking them up. I'm going to snag them for at least a couple weeks to see how this plays out, because we know whoever that is carries some serious upside.
Well, absolutely, man. I mean, I know they ran the ball a little bit better in this one, but it's a pass-first team every single week, and the defense is horrible, 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 horrible. So they're going to be passing every single game. So my next dud, I got to get up in here, and I was really close to taking the other side of the coin with your Lions taking going Kenny Golladay, because that guy just killed me this week. But the guy that I got to get on here, and it felt like such an obvious crush week for him, and he was just going to be a super stud. Dude, T.Y. Hilton, it was bad, man. Only five targets. In a game where the Colts won 42-28 and Luck chucked the ball 31 times and had 3 touchdowns, if you would have not seen any of that and you just saw the box score and said, okay, Luck is throwing the ball, he got 3 touchdowns, T.Y. Hilton probably did nothing. One catch for 34, that's it? And with this week, you feel like he was going to be a little bit healthier. Weeks 1 through 3, he was averaging almost 11 targets per game, and then he gets only 5? Dude, he got out-targeted by Dontrell Inman, who just got signed off the street, and Jack Doyle, who came back from injury. Both those dudes had 7 targets in this game, and Hilton had 5. It was bad.
Yeah, dude, it really was brutal. And when you see how much points they had scored, man, I mean, you got to figure that T.Y. had a monster game, right? You look at it and you're like, all right, bank it, man. I mean, there goes the big performance. No. And that's another one where it's like, yeah, I didn't watch the game. I want to see the snap counts. I don't know if anything was up. 5 targets, even with 5 targets, you got to expect he gets more than 4 points. No doubt about that. Guy I want to talk about, man. And look, it's a little bit, he didn't kill you, Alex Smith, but he didn't help you. No doubt about that. And the reason I want to say that he was a dud is because, dude, the matchup was great. I mean, look at what this defense for the Giants. It's not good, man. People have been able to really take advantage of it. We saw what Matt Ryan did last week. 20-32, 178, 1 touchdown. I know, like I said, he wasn't really massively important in terms of single quarterback leagues, but I know if you're in a super flex or a two quarterback, Alex Smith, not just week 8, But for the whole season, there's really been a letdown. And just, I mean, it's making it even more obvious, makes Andy Reid even look smarter, the fact that this guy is out the door. And I will give it to him. He doesn't have a bunch of big name wide receivers and weapons, but 12 points, man, from a guy that you're banking on as your QB2, you need more than that.
Well, I think all we're seeing right now is Alex Smith transform into every other season Alex Smith outside of last year. It's back to what it was, man. About 200 yards, maybe a touchdown or two, just trying not to screw it up every single week.
Absolutely. All right, man, let's move over to tonight's Monday night game. Patriots on the road to take on the Bills. This might get ugly very fast. Patriots are a 13.5 point favorite. And I don't know if that's enough, man, to be honest with you. But, hey, talk to me. This should not take long. But talk to me about the fantasy implications on this Bills offense tonight.
They suck. Hashtag analysis. Dude, I mean, how do I even break this Bills team down, man? It's just nasty. It's absolutely horrible, man. Quarterbacks, they're starting 35-year-old Derek Anderson, so I don't even care if you're the deepest of Superflex leagues. You could be in a 32-team league. You are not going to roll this dude out at all. Whopping 3 fantasy points last game, 175 yards. 3 interceptions. It's just bad, dude. Nobody's touching that dude. On to running backs. LeSean McCoy cleared concussion protocol, so he will be rocking it this week. So Ivory is back to the wire. You can cut him, sit him, whatever, man. And even LeSean McCoy, dude. So the last two games before last week when he went out with the concussion, averaging 22.5 touches, 101 total yards. And a lot of people are still kind of stuck on, okay, well, the Patriots give up a lot to running backs, right? Nah, man, they're only giving up the 15th most points to fantasy running backs. And outside of that Kareem Hunt game where he just, like, dominated them, the last 3 starting running backs that have faced this team have not tallied over 45 rushing yards in any single game. So McCoy is he's a flex, man. Just a middling RB3 just based off of volume, because I don't even see them getting in the end zone in this one. For wide receivers, dude, Stephon Gilmore is going to blanket the left tackle / tight end / whatever the hell he looks like nowadays, Kelvin Benjamin. Nobody should be rocking Benjamin in your lineups, and if you are, I'm sorry, because you probably got no wins or 1 win on the season, and not even in the deepest of leagues, man. Over to tight end, Charles Clay, I was high on him coming into this year, just thinking, like, somebody's got to catch passes, man. But even Charles Clay is not somebody that you want to be putting into your lineups. The Patriots have been solid against fantasy tight ends on the season, and there's nothing to like out of this. The only person that you would even consider sticking in any single lineup is McCoy, and it's still not pretty.
Yeah, dude. It like you said, that's probably your hardest team breakdown that you'll have to have all year when we preview a Monday night game. Try to convince people that this team has anything. Nope, can't do it. All right, on to the Patriots. Look, for the Patriots, we know that this is really going to be just a tale of game script. We if they come out and blow them out, you know, any of these guys could see a dip in their projections or their volume or their carries, whatever, based upon how quick this thing gets out of hand. But obviously Tom Brady, he's in that category too. If they come out and, you know, couple rushing touchdowns, boom, it's run the ball, whatever. If it gets out of hand earlier. Bills giving up the 7th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. Does not matter, in my opinion. You always start Brady, regardless of matchup. He's another one of those guys that we talked about. You don't want to be pissed off because you got cute and didn't start Tom Brady. I'm starting him here as well. Just got to hope that he gets involved in the action early on, which I expect him to. James White, I mean, you're not benching this dude. Number one targeted running back in all of football entering week 8, 2nd receptions. Now you have no Sony Michel, looking like a legit workhorse, you know, taking touches. I would be absolutely stunned if somehow Sony Michel suits up for this one. I am expecting him not to. So, I love James White. He leads the team in targets as well. Got to start him. What I will say is Kenyon Barner, dude, is a sneaky DFS play, and I think a desperation start if you are a Sony Michel owner or just kind of desperate. Like we said, if the Patriots come out, they blow out the Bills early, which is highly possible. This is a guy that could see a lot of carries in garbage time just to kind of milk the clock, get out of there. He'll be that guy that kind of takes on that between the tackles role. Even though he's not a big guy, they're just not going to use James White in that role. For Josh Gordon, the wide receivers, Gordon has a tough matchup going against Tre'Davious White, but I still think he's a start as well. He's been playing far too many snaps, in my opinion, to bench him. Could definitely see him having a big game as well, but here's the deal. That tough matchup, he could have a pretty decent game. So, I mean, don't be shocked either way, because that matchup is it's legitimately a tough one, man. For Julian Edelman, got to fire him up as well. I actually like him more in PPR leagues than Gordon because of that matchup that I just mentioned. Double-digit PPR points in every game he has played this year. And I've heard it already, the Chris Hogan revenge game. I get that the dude has put together two decent weeks after I dropped him, of course, and now he's come back to take on his former team in the Bills. I'm just not as high as him as others here. It comes down to this game script that we keep talking about and the fact that this dude is, you know, fourth option in targets. When you're talking about on this team, you have James White, you have Julian Edelman, you have Gronk, Josh Gordon. I mean, these guys go in front of Chris Hogan in terms of where they're looking. So I'm not high on Chris Hogan tonight, but we'll see. Maybe I'm completely wrong on that. For in terms of Gronk, it looks like Gronk is going to be a go this week. And I'm going to go out of limb and I'm going to tell you that, you know, it's a ballsy move to tell you to start Gronk. No, I'm just playing, dude. If you're not starting Gronk, you're an idiot. He's dominated against the Bills too, dude. I pulled this up. He has 12 touchdowns in 13 career games against them and has averaged nearly 80 yards in those games. That's complete domination from Rob Gronkowski. So start him with confidence. Really quick, I will add Patriots defense. They should be heavily owned and played in DFS, seasonal, wherever you can grab them for tonight's game. It's as close to a lock, in my opinion, as possible. And I think it was Mike Clay who tweeted it out, but it was five of the seven games the Bills have played this year, the opposing defense has finished in the top three for fantasy points. So, I mean, that's money, man. For a defense, I will be snatching them in, you know, any single game slates or two game slates where I can, dude. We'll see, man. What's your final score on this one? Predict this one for me.
Oh my gosh. The Patriots love to run the score up, man. They're all about those counting stats. I think it'll be like 33 to 6. Like it's going to be horrible.
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, and maybe this is one of those divisional games where, I mean, we saw it earlier in the year where the Bills beat the shit out of the Vikings. But dude, I just
don't see it, man.
I cannot fathom this not getting out of hand. So I'm going to give them, I'm going to go with the high point total output for the Bills. I'm going to give them 10 points and say the Patriots win 31 to 10. So
I can't see. And you're asking me this. I had a hard time. Man, I have a hard time seeing how they're going to put up any points. Like, even if the Patriots toss a shutout in this one, I'm not going to be surprised, man.
Oh, I absolutely wouldn't either. Like you said, it's hard, but I guess there's some players that apparently play in the NFL on there, so I'll give them 10 points. But let's see what happens, man. Either way, this one could be ugly, and you could be turning off the TV to pass out early. All right, that's a wrap, bro. As we said to start, you can find me on Twitter at WillieFF247. Hit up Derek at Deber _FFB and hit the main page at FFB _247. Be sure to hit that subscribe button on iTunes. Stay tuned for tomorrow's show. Debro and Ethan will take care of you guys there. Ethan's going to be back with dropping some injury knowledge as always. So Derek, we'll catch you next time.
Hell yes. For 24/7, we are out.